You're listening to the Spicy Dividend.
Hey, hey, does this thing work? Testing. I know, it has been absolutely forever since I've recorded anything. I apologize. Look, I've been just trying different stuff. Today should be a really interesting podcast. I have fallen off the wagon, the dividend wagon. I've completely fallen off. I'm going to talk about it today. What are my goals as of right now? And I'm being a little hypocritical, not going to lie, but let's get into it. So you see the title, I've fallen off the dividend wagon. That's definitely accurate. I have like a whole new approach right now, and I don't know why. I don't know what's gotten into me lately, but I just have. So over the past, I just looked, it's been over a month since I did a podcast. I believe the last one I did one was January 6th. It's February 9th when I'm recording this. So it's been over a month. And I think the last time I did a podcast, it was me doing the stupid move of putting, I believe, $35,000 into PCI, PIMCO Dynamic Credit Income Fund. Super high yield. It's like 8%, maybe north of that. And the price just keeps going up and up and up. So I had PCI, and then my portfolio for a little bit was PCI, VXUS, all the international stocks excluding US, and then what's the other one? Noble, NOBL, which is just Dividend Aristocrats ETF. So, oh man, I don't know what's gotten in me. I really don't. I don't know what, just like, I woke up one day and I was just like, it ain't cutting it for me. I essentially tried to learn day trading. So I didn't take any like courses or anything. I watched a hell of a lot of YouTube videos. I did some paper trading on tradingview.com. And if you've never been on tradingview.com, I highly recommend it. They have a free package where you can just look at all the services they have. Sorry, my microphone cut out. So sorry, that was a little bit weird. But they give you all of the technical analysis that you could possibly imagine. They have custom templates that are made from users on the site, and then they have pre-made common templates, stuff like RSI, Relative Strength Index, and Bollinger Bands, and Momentum Indicators, and Oscillators, and it's pretty much a day in swing trader's dream. So I did some paper trading on there, tried to learn it, had some minor success, and I thought there's no better way to try it myself. So what I ended up doing was I didn't touch anything in VXUS or Noble. I ended up selling $35,000, all of it, of PCI. So I just had that floating in cash, and I said, screw it, I'm going to go for it. I have above $25,000 in my account. So even though I could get labeled as a pattern day trader, it won't matter because I have the equity to surpass any margin requirements. So I went for it. And I'm recording this on a Sunday. I started on Wednesday afternoon, went through Thursday, went through Friday. And I mean, end of the day, I ended up losing $200 after all of it. So, you know, in terms of day trading, and you're day trading with 30 grand a pop, 35 grand a pop, you know, $200 is really nothing at all, but it's less than 1%. So it's really not that big of a deal, but it's just not for me. You know, it distracts me from work. It's very hard to focus on work when you're just constantly looking at stock charts. You know, and I'm sitting there at work, you know, whether it be on my lunch break or whatever. And even if I am on my break, it's like I feel guilty doing it. You know, I'm just sitting there on my computer looking at stock charts. And it's like, you know, anyone who walks by my cubicle is like, okay, is this guy just trading stocks all day, or is he actually working? So, you know, I don't like that stigma. You do need a lot of focus when you're doing day trading. But there are some things, interesting things that I did learn. Technical analysis is no joke, okay? And I encourage you, if you never have, to go on tradingview.com and just play with some of these, you know, day and swing trading templates, and you'll see whenever the RSI goes really low, or whenever these momentum indicators indicate that there is going to be a run-up soon, or whenever the price of a stock during intraday trading goes below the fifth band in a Bollinger Band, it's incredible. It just bounces. It's like these computer algorithms are following along the same path, and they do it. It's like, you know, I watched a lot of YouTube videos, but I'm not going to sit here and, you know, claim to be some kind of like expert or someone who can actually give advice on day trading. My mistakes were pretty common rookie mistakes. So if I wanted to try it for the long term, and I'm saying day trading, like if I didn't have a job, if I was unemployed, I probably would give it a legitimate shot. But it's just not for me. It's really not. But I'm not escaping that trajectory quite yet. Like I said, only lost $200 on the ordeal. Not that big of a deal. But I do want to try short-term swing trading. I believe that this short little stint that I had with day trading and technical analysis gives me a lot more confidence in short-term swing trading. I think it's a lot better for me. I don't have to watch my computer constantly. I can just check the price once a day and go from there. I don't have to constantly be on my computer or anything. So I can use the technical analysis of something like an RSI, Relative Strength Index. That's probably my favorite one to use. It seems to be the most consistent with everything in terms of day and swing and long-term trading. RSI is very useful. Look it up. If you don't believe me, just backtest it. Look it for yourself and see, oh crap, when RSI hits below 30 and 20 in some cases, it just bounces. You know, it's oversold and there's a nice little spike. So I'm going to use that and couple it with all the fundamental analysis that I learned trading dividend stocks. So with dividend stocks, you tend to be all fundamental. You don't care about technical analysis at all, right? I mean, the theory is you really don't care about price appreciation at all when you're focused on dividends. I know that's not the case. People will never admit that's the case, but you know, I'm sorry, people who are hardcore dividends and say, oh, you know, I don't care about appreciation. I just care about the dividend and it increasing over time, blah, blah, blah. That's a lot of horseshit. If that was true, then no one on YouTube who's dividend growth investors would show their total portfolio value. They would just give you a sheet of what their dividends were. Because, hey, who cares if your, you know, capital gains went up 50%? We don't care. We just care about the dividend, right? That's so horseshit. If you sold your stocks right there and then, you wouldn't be disappointed that you stopped receiving a dividend. You would be ecstatic that you just made 60% on your investment, okay? That's, come on, you're in it for total return. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being in it for dividend income when you're older or when you try to live off it or pay some bills from it, blah, blah, blah. But if you're young, you know, it's really tough to just build up for dividends. I mean, you can do dividend growth investing, but dividend growth investing is a total return machine at the end of the day. So you'll be happy that your portfolio has gone up significantly in value, buying stuff that has, you know, 1-2% starting yields, and then the yield on cost is, you know, 20-50% down the line. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, your yield on cost might be high, but when you're older and you want the money, it's much more logical, much more efficient to sell out of that stock that you've received such a good appreciation on and just buy a higher yielder, a higher starting yield, something like a utility and energy stock, oil, something like that, and you'll just get it immediately. The whole point is the dividend. You don't care about appreciation. You truly don't care about appreciation at that point. But look, I think part of it was I said to myself, it's like, look, like I am young. I'm 28. I'll be 29 next month, but I'm 28. I should be focusing on building wealth. And the common approach to building wealth in the market when you're young is to just put it in a total index fund, right? Total index fund that has like 70% S&P 500, like 20% international, and like 10% bonds or speculative, whatever you want to put there. You know, you just set it, forget it, and let it grow over time. You'll get the, you know, positive expected returns as long as the global economy doesn't tank. But I really want to go for the wealth. Look, I built up a lot, and this is me being completely transparent, right? So my total portfolio value right now is around $49,000. This is my individual. I don't count my retirement or anything I put in emergency funds. This is strictly my individual trading portfolio on E-Trade right now. It's at $49,000. And if you take away dividend and dividend reinvestment, I don't know. I probably put in about, well, I shouldn't say that because I did get a lot of referral income and YouTube income. Let's just say that YouTube income is me personally putting money in and referral income is not. So I probably put in, of that $49,000, probably put in about $45,000. And, you know, you can say it's the process of consistent funding. That's all that matters. I should be having a hell of a lot higher portfolio value than 45,000 or 49,000. Okay, if I put all of my money in SPY, which is just S&P 500 dividend or S&P 500 ETF, if I put it all in that all the time during this entire process, my portfolio would be probably around $70,000 to $80,000, and it's not going anywhere. Right now, part of it is just me being an idiot, and I keep changing my positions constantly, but I don't see anything wrong with changing your positions constantly, but there was no real plan. So I want to swing trade now, and there is a plan. So I buy the position when it's getting beaten up. I'm essentially doing value sniping, if you want to call it that. And I hope to get, you know, chunks of like 2% returns and then just sell it off and then look for the next one. Maybe I'll let it ride. If it seems to be having a good trend and the RSI is not too high, it's not overbought, you know, I'll let it ride for a little bit. But at the end of the day, I believe combining technical analysis and fundamental analysis, stuff that I've learned fundamentals for so many years now, and being an accountant, I pretty much live in fundamental analysis. I record the transactions for fundamental analysis. And then learning technical analysis, why not marry the two? And it pretty much indicates swing trading. So why does it work for swing trading? So let's take a look at it. Something is perfect, like in AbbVie, right? They had the announcement of the acquisition and the price of the stock just plummeted. So it plummeted to the point where both technical and fundamental analysis were screaming, this is a buy. So fundamentally, you looked at AbbVie and said, look, their cash flow is really strong. They've been increasing their dividend for so many years now, and they've also been increasing it at an extraordinary rate. So obviously, the business is not hemorrhaging any cash flow at all. And then you looked at the technical side, RSI was way below 30 at that point, meaning it was way oversold. And it was going to have a bounce back based on pretty much every momentum factor that there was. That, to me, is marrying fundamental and technical analysis for a perfect swing trade. And I'm hoping to do something similar to that with my new wealth building strategy, which is essentially going to be swing trading. Now, look, I could fail at this miserably and lose a lot of money. And, you know, that's something I'm willing to take on. But the whole point of this is you don't buy penny stocks, right? You don't buy anything that's like $5 a share and it's completely speculative. Oh, maybe they'll turn it around. This is buying big names that are just really, really cheap. And, you know, a lot of it came from watching a lot of PPC Ian videos and watching his stocks, which are, you know, they're pretty much all blue chips. It is a couple that are non-blue chips, but they're pretty much all blue chips. And whenever they would tank, he would always buy more. And I noticed when he bought more, like in a week, he would get like 6% returns. And it's this, and you know, he's one of those guys that says he's not in it for price appreciation, but I want to be in it for price appreciation. I do. I want to build my portfolio up. I want to build the total amount of wealth that I have in the portfolio up. And you know, one of his perfect examples, he bought AbbVie really great at a great price. He did it when 3M, with 3M, before 3M had that correction they just had like a week ago after earnings. He was buying in like the high 150s, low 160s, and it went up to 180. And right now it's down to 160 again. But another perfect one he had was Campbell Soup. And everyone seemed to be hating this one. And he loved it when it went down to the 40s, and like when he bought it, it was hilarious. Like a week later, it went up like 6 to 10%, and it was just like, holy crap, like that was fast. I would love to just buy it, get that 6%, immediately cash out and just go from there. Now the thing that's going to make my portfolio a little bit interesting is because I'm going to be buying huge chunks, and I did buy a huge chunk. It's funny, if you follow me at Twitter at DGen Dividends, I said I was considering selling all my PCI and buying 3M because I thought it was a good value. And then I stated, I don't know if I necessarily like it. But I sent out that tweet saying I might do it. So I sold my PCI. I tried day trading for 2.5 days. Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan just because of the commitment that it needs, and I can't multitask with work. It's just not fair to my job and my employer. Ultimately, I did buy 3M at the end of Friday, and I believe I got it at a great price. I bought it when the whole market was down at its lowest point. I was able to buy, I believe it was 200, let me get the calculator out here. I believe it was 212 shares at $159.98. Yeah, so I bought pretty much 34 grand of 3M. I think they're going ex-div this week, which I could see it. I got to research a little bit better, but I could see it having a little run-up before ex-div just because they did increase their dividend. It was very small, but they did increase their dividend, and I believe it's oversold a bit right now. So usually you see a little bit of run-up before the ex-dividend date for companies like this if they're having a really good starting yield and they're on sale. So I'm hoping to get that, and maybe, you know, at 1% to 2%, I'll just sell off right away, because at 1% to 2%, let's go for 2%, because that's not, it's really not that asinine. So if I bought 34,000, we go 2% here, that's $680 in profit. I would take that and be happy. I really would. And 2% is really not that difficult of a feat. Now, with swing trading, you have to be able to hold on a little bit longer. So I might take some short-term losses on it, but that's okay. You got to hold on with swing trading a little bit. And it's one of those situations, you want to swing trade stocks that you are comfortable holding for the long term. So, you know, if worst case scenario, 3M dips to like 150 or 140 or 130 and so on and so forth, it keeps going lower and lower. It turns out to be the next General Electric or whatever. I could sell off. I could make a stop loss at like $150 or whatever and take my lumps and move on. Or I can just hold it for the long term, get that high dividend yield, and just hold forever. And, you know, that's just my portfolio. It's just 3M, International, VXUS, and Noble. You know, it would not be the worst thing in the world. It really wouldn't. And I have faith that 3M is going to bounce back eventually. But the point is, you take it off these completely oversold moments. And when 3M was trading about 159, the RSI, the Relative Strength Index, was reaching that 20. I believe it's at like a 34 right now. You want to buy something when it's considered value in the 30 to like the 15 to 30 range. That means it's way oversold. And then it usually tries to go back to normal around the 50 to 60 range. So I expect a jump in price. I really do. So that is my position right now in 3M. I bought $34,000, around 212 shares of 3M, hoping to get like 2% out of it. What is that? So we're at 160, and 2% of that is $3.20. So do I realistically see 3M getting to $163.20? Of course I do. It was literally 180, like what, 4 or 5 days ago or whatever it was. So I just needed to get to like 163, 164 bucks. And if I see that it's running up quite nicely, maybe I'll hold on to it, hope for like a 166, 167, and then take the money and run. Because look, you know, at the end of the day, I want to build wealth. I want to build the total portfolio value up. So this is interesting. So if you follow along with my podcast, and you know how harsh I am on people that are just like, oh, you know, you're not in it for the dividend, you're in it for total returns. And it's like, I'm the true dividend guy. I'm buying PCI and taking that 8% yield. I actually care about the yield and blah, 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 blah. I know, I'm being hypocritical. So if you're one of those people that followed along for a long time and you don't like the cut of my current jive, I'm sorry. It's just who I am. You know, I know it's hypocritical of me. A lot of people have criticized me for changing my philosophy, and I argued I never did change my philosophy. Well, this is a flat-out change of philosophy, okay? This is completely 180 from what I'm used to doing. And hey, let's find out where it goes, right? If I end up turning, you know, end up losing like $10,000, then I'm just going to admit that I fucked up, and I'm going to correct the ship and just go back into the traditional long-term plays. I think all of this changing is honestly making me a better investor. I'm just, you know, I'm looking at it. I'm like, all right, I'm making these silly mistakes. Get the mistakes out of my system, learn from them, and move on. So look, I think the mistakes that I made in day trading are going to make me a really good swing trader. I really do have faith in my abilities. I really do. And I think this is right up my alley. It keeps you active in the stock market, but it's not so active where it consumes your life. Okay. I mean, with swing trading, it's extremely rare where you're going to buy really heavy and then sell it in like 2 days. It's extremely rare, unless you get something like a Tesla, which runs up 10% a day. absolute madness lately with Tesla. And I'm glad, by the way, because pretty much every millennial investor who has Tesla as a huge position in their portfolio is just chucking the finger at all these economists and bears. And I'm glad. I fucking hate Tesla shorts with all of me. I really do. This is a company. I don't personally own them. And who knows, maybe I did do some day trading with them. But I hope Tesla just goes to the moon. This is a company I wish nothing but the best for. I hope they innovate the world, change the world. I always laugh when people say, like, oh, Tesla's the future and we're not going to use oil anymore. That's a joke. Oil's used in anything and everything, okay? Oil's not going away for at least, I don't know, give it at least another 300 years minimum that we're going to be still using oil and pretty much everything. It'll just coincide with all of these new ones. But anyway, you're going to be in these swing trades, you know, typically for a couple weeks minimum, right? You might get lucky and it might spike right away, in which case, yeah, I'll sell it. I'll take my 2 to 3% if it spikes right away and just, you know, call it a day and take the profits and run. It's kind of a, you know, double-edged sword here because since I'm putting so much of my portfolio in it, you know, I'm living or dying on one stock, but it could be a very positive thing because since I have such a large capital allocation, 34K into it, you know, little positive movements are going to make big impacts on the total portfolio value. So let's try and build the wealth. Let's see where that takes us. So I completely understand if you're not interested because I'm changing my portfolio mentality a little bit. I'm changing my portfolio value a lot and completely changing my philosophy and trading style. So I hope to be doing podcasts when I sell and buy new positions and explain my positions, maybe do a little bit of technical analysis here and there, say why I'm doing it. Here's the fundamental aspect I like. Here's the technical aspect I like. Here's how much I bought of it. Here's what my goal is. Here's what my stop loss is if I do want to sell out eventually, if I don't want to marry it and, you know, be in it for super long term. Who knows? Maybe I will try for some risky speculative stocks down the road. If this turns out to be successful and, you know, I gain a lot of money and then I can just buy smaller positions in speculative stocks, like instead of putting 34K like I am in 3M, I could do like a, you know, $5,000 in something that's like dirt cheap. And, you know, trading at $3 a share, and I believe, oh, it can go to $4 and then make a quick 25% there. But we'll see. So this has been episode 23. I have fallen off the dividend wagon. If you're following along on YouTube, let me know your thoughts. If you're just listening on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, whatever it may be, you can reach out to me on Instagram or Twitter. Twitter's at DGenDividends. And Instagram is at DGen_dividends. So hope you enjoyed episode 23. Hope you enjoyed listening to my complete change of heart. We'll see how it works. I could bankrupt the whole portfolio, whatever. You know, I got to give it a shot, right? I'm young. I'm dumb. I can afford it with such a high emergency fund. And let's do it.